welcome to the Abilute Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
Jesus, you are above everything. Amen, church. Come on. Jesus, you are above everything. There is nothing higher than you. God, we lift you up in Jesus' name. in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, church. Awesome. Awesome. Can we pray all together, family? If you would, you can stretch your hands forward towards these folks. And we're just going to believe that God's going to move in power over them. Father, in the name of Jesus, we speak life and blessing to each one of these new family members. God, we pray that everything that you have designed for them will supernaturally come by your Holy Spirit, God. And you will just move on their behalf. Let your favor go before them, God. Be a shield about them. And I pray, God, for just new growth in their life, that they will overcome obstacles, internal battles, God, and the brokenness that each of us experience and the healing that we experience emotionally, physically, spiritually, as we come to you. God, I pray that you will do a great work inside the heart of each of these new believers, God. And we pray that, God, you will drive back the hand of the enemy on their behalf, God, and you will just give them a clear path. And you are the good God who leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. Even when things are difficult, God, you are there for us. And so, God, we're praying that they will see you in every circumstance. And they are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And God, I pray that they will begin to have fruitful ministries of leading people to Christ and making disciples and doing a great work for you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Church, I encourage you to get to know these folks. Integrate them into your heart. That's how they integrate into our family. To be a family, we have to know one another, right? So this is my encouragement to you, to get to know one another. We don't want to be just a church where we show up and just leave. We need one another. Amen? Amen. Well, it's exciting to be here today. Tonight, worship night. We got a worship night going tonight. It ought to be packed out. Just pursuing heaven, pursuing Jesus. And you'll see the advertisement for it, but I want to encourage you to do that. And encourage you to continue to faithfully give of your life and service, your finances, every area of your life to make this church really thrive for Jesus. Amen. So let's watch these announcements and we'll get into the message.
1 Peter 1:10-11 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things, and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." So what will your grand entrance look like? Like this? Or like this.
Bueller. Bueller. Bueller.
Like this. Happy day, happy day. Or like this.
Bueller. Bueller.
Like this. Or like this.
Bueller. Bueller.
Let your entrance be grand.
All right. So we're doing the second part here of this message that kind of got cut short last week. And it's called Living for the Grand Entrance. Here's a couple passages just to get us started. Matthew 16. Or we're here, Second Peter, verse 11. This is the first one, right? Second Peter, chapter 1, verse 11. If I start in verse 10 here, it's not up for you, but it says this. "So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you are really among those God has called and chosen. Do these things, and you will never fall away." Great promise, right? "Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Couple other scriptures here. Matthew 16:19. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Revelation 22:12, behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. Living for the grand entrance. Remember, each one of us, we're living for the grand entrance. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that, God, you have just called each one of us, as Ephesians says, as we are a masterpiece designed by your hand, and you've created us and destined us for works you prepared in advance for us to do. So, God, we are believing that we are going to live by faith in our works, God, according to our faith. God, we're going to live out the works that you designed us for, and in that, God, we're really truly living for a great reward and a grand entrance into the kingdom of heaven. We thank you that we're saved by your grace, and we live by your grace, God. And we want to continue to do that and be fruitful as believers in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So remember, Ephesians 2 says that we are not saved by works, but by faith. Grace, right? Saved by grace. Our faith in Christ causes us to be saved. And where we really get crossed up most of the time is we want to live or be saved by grace, but live by works. And then sometimes we get caught in this debacle of, I now am saved by grace, and now I want to live by grace, but we get confused about what that really means. Grace is not liberty. Mercy gives you liberty. Grace is power. Mercy gives you freedom from your sin, and Jesus died for that, and you're no longer in prison. Romans says this, chapter 7 and 8, you're no longer in prison to your sin, but you now, through the mercy of God, you are saved by his grace, by what he's done, so you no longer have to be in prison to that, and you can now live according to the power of God, the grace of God inside you to do what? Not live however you want, but live according to what God made you for, which is a holy and righteous life before God. And in that, there's this beautiful reward that comes with it too. Isn't that so sweet? I mean, God doesn't just tell us that there's this humongous standard that we have to live up to. He then just like bends us over a barrel and just beats us till we're senseless because we can't do it. That's what the law did to us. The law set this measuring rod, this standard we could never live up to. And through that, God proved to us we could never do it on our own, that we were desperate for him. And so Jesus came. The Son of God came, lived a perfect life, and made all of the sacrifices and did everything that was necessary for you and I to have entrance into the kingdom of heaven. All of his work, all of his power, a gift for you. All you and I have to do is choose. And later in this message, at the end of this message, those of you here that have not given your heart to Christ, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. Just like these beautiful people that were being baptized because they had made a commitment to Christ. And virtually most of us in this room probably have made a commitment to Jesus. But this is the greatest thing we can seek after, is the grace of God, the mercy of God that has purchased us and bought us for a life in eternity with him. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it talks about a life where we live in a way that, according to building, like wise master builders, and this building process, we're called to build on gold and silver and these things that the Bible symbolizes to us that are valuable. There's a type of lifestyle that is valuable to God. There is a type of work that the grace of God has empowered for us to do and live. And that is purposed for a reward in heaven. But it says also in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that there are some of us that we are unfaithful in the things that God has entrusted to us, the gift that he's entrusted to us, unfaithful truly with the grace of God. Because the grace of God, the Holy Spirit, has been placed inside of you to do great works and great things for him. And it says in 1 Corinthians 3, says that some of those, you're in heaven because God saved you. But it's like just as if, you know, the fires of hell are just smoking your britches. You just barely get in.
And this is the thing. It's not saying that you have to work and make it to be saved. No, God saved you permanent. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Romans 8, nothing. He chose you. You respond to that love. You're saved. You can't change that. But the reality is you're just past the line. You're in the gates. God made you for a great reward. He didn't make you to just get in the gate. And that's what that is trying to say. It's not that you just barely got saved. No, Christ's power saves everybody indefinitely, permanently, totally saved, not just barely. The symbolism there, the communication is to say, look, you weren't made to just escape the flames of hell. You were made for a grand entrance into the kingdom, and that's what he wants. He wants to rejoice and celebrate with you when you come into heaven because you were faithful with the things he empowered you to do. And the reward is ours. Listen, the reward is ours, not his. He wants us to partner with him so we can experience him and know him. Those experiences, they cultivate this intimate relationship with him, and they change us. That relationship is what he made us for. And so he doesn't want to just do it for us. That's why he gave you and I a free will. So we could choose to love him. We could choose to respond to the grace of God and obey him and reap the rewards here on earth from responding to the grace of God and reap the rewards in heaven as we respond to the grace of God. Isn't that beautiful? And it's really about us knowing him, us encountering him. That's what Jesus died for. That's what it's all about, is that love relationship between him and his creation, between him and you personally, Larry, you, Keith, you, right? Linda, he died for you. He wants to know you as you experience him, right? Isn't that awesome that he can die for everyone and know everyone intimately and personally? That blows my mind. And then individually, before the world was created, you're his workmanship. You're his masterpiece. He had you in mind. And he had a path for you. Not just a path where you make good and bad decisions, but for you to do good things out of your life. You cannot stray off of the path of God. For God lives in you. Are you with me? God is not a linear God in time. He is beyond time. And he is living in you. And yes, you will make marks for eternity as you live. But you're not on a road or off a road. He's in you. You can't, every road you go down, he's still in you. At any moment, you can choose to live for him, and now you make a mark for eternity wherever you are at. Doesn't matter where you're at on the GPS, right? He's Google Maps. He knows everything. He's everywhere, looking down. And wherever you are at, you can make a choice. You can make a turn to begin living for God. Respond to the grace of God in you and make a mark for eternity. It's beautiful. And there will be a reward in heaven right there. Right in that place. No matter how far you've strayed. You can't stray. You can't stray in the kingdom. You can only live in the kingdom. Where you're at, you can begin living right now. And I believe that's God's challenge for each one of us, is that we would begin living for that great reward, no matter what we can see right in front of us. Amen? Now, I know we're studying out of the book of Peter, the second Peter. And, you know, when Peter talks about his experience and he's teaching his disciples, we see Peter virtually at the end of his life in chapter 2, verse 13. He says, "For our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that I must soon leave this earthly life." He's writing like his last memoir or his last empowerment to his disciples, saying, This you really got to get these things. And he starts off super heavy, really heavy. We haven't even gotten out of the first chapter of Peter, right? He starts off really heavy and he just lays it out. Look, this is how you're to live according to the grace of God and what he has done in you. But when he is communicating, he's coming from a deep place of personal failure, rejection, hurt, persecution. He understands the earthly reward and the potential heavenly reward that God has for each disciple. If you remember, Peter is the loudmouth disciple all the time, sticking his foot in his mouth. So much so that Jesus rebukes him and tells him, "Get behind me, Satan." Remember this? Maybe you've never read that, but there's a time where Jesus says, where Peter is saying, "You can't do that." And he goes, "You're getting in the way of God's plan. Get behind me, Satan." That's the enemy using you. And he's like, "Oh, I'm being used by the enemy." He didn't like that. And then he goes and he says, "No, you're never going to die. I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to go with you all the way to the end." And then Jesus goes, "Hold on a second. You're going to deny me three times." And then he does. Can you imagine what Peter felt? The shame and the guilt that he felt when he betrayed Christ three times. And then he begins to live. He's empowered by the Holy Spirit and he stands up and 3,000 people get saved after the Holy Spirit comes on him. Then he sees a great work. You know what a risk that was for him to stand in front of everybody and preach that the Jesus that they just crucified was the Messiah? He could have been killed on the spot. It was a time of Passover and all this time. There were thousands upon thousands of Jews that were there. I mean, there was enough Jews there to wipe Peter out. But God cuts to their heart and they get saved. And then we find Peter serving Jesus and in prison and suffering for Christ. And then he falls into religious behavior and Paul rebukes him in front of everybody. He's done it all. The guy has had difficulty. He was in prison and God escapes him from prison and he just keeps serving and suffering for Jesus. The guy was, he had seen it all. And when he's here saying, "Look, this is my last thing I want to say to you. It's so important. You need to realize that you need to live according to the divine power. Exercise your faith. You exercise your faith. You're going to grow in the knowledge of who Christ is. You need to do this." And you can get those last messages. They're on podcast and where I preach all about that. But he says, if you live this way in verse 10, if you do these things, you will never fall away. If you cultivate that relationship with Jesus and exercise your faith, you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is important to Peter, that we keep our eyes focused on the prize, right? My wife always says that about our relationship. Keep your eyes on the prize. She goes, "Look at me, keep your eyes on the prize. Worry about all other stuff. Come home on time, right? Keep your eyes on the prize." I'm like, "All right, that's right, that's good." Eternally, we need to keep our eyes on the prize. That's our reward in heaven. That's truly our relationship with Jesus. But Peter, I want you to know, he comes from a deep place in his natural man of understanding what he's talking about here. But we see Jesus talk about this act of faithfulness and the importance of faithfulness to what God has entrusted to us, the grace of God he's given to us, found in the parable of the three talents or the three servants, whatever it says in your Bible, in Matthew 25. I did not put the scriptures up here, but I want you just to stay along here in the story. Again, this is Jesus teaching. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. This is the second edition of the New Living Translation, by the way. I like it. I want you to like it. He gave five bags of silver, verse 15, two bags of silver, and to another, one bag of silver to the last, dividing in proportions to their abilities. Then he left on his trip. The servant who received the five bags of silver began to invest the money and earned five more. The servant with the two bags also went to work and earned two more. But the servant who received the one bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give account for how they used the money. The servant whom he had entrusted the five bags of silver came forward with five more and said, "Master, you gave me five bags of silver to invest, and I have earned five more." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. Now I will give you many more responsibilities." Let's celebrate together. There's a reward, right? We're going to party in heaven with Jesus. The servant who had received the two bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me two bags of silver to invest, and I have now earned two more." The master said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. I think it's important here that Jesus is showing us that our job is not to compare, but to invest. Not to compare. One had five, one had two. Both get equal reward. They get to celebrate with the master. So you and I, sometimes we look at our lives and we go, well, I don't have as much as that guy. I'm not as good as this person. That's not what God is asking from you. He's asking you to give what he gave you, to invest what he gave you, not someone else. To someone else, he gave it to them for his grand master plan that he has going on. None of us can understand and see. None of us know what is really happening, except we're serving the greatest King of kings of all, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's who we're serving. We know he has a grand plan, but we just don't really know what it is, except millions and millions, billions of people being in heaven with him in relationship. That's like the main thing we know, right? Okay, you got to stop. You and I, as churches, as believers, must stop comparing. Comparing is cancer in the body of Christ. We can't compare between what each one of us has or doesn't have. We need to take the talent, the gift, the things, the grace of God that is measured to us, Romans 12, and we need to live according to that. We need to be faithful with that. If you can prophesy, prophesy. If you can be a minister of helps, then be a minister of helps. Help people. If you have hospitality, help them. If you're a leader, lead. If you're an administrator, administrate. Thank God for administrators. Hallelujah. God, I call out administrators in the name of Jesus. Let them rise up. I need an army of administrators. God bless them. Right? To each, that's what you're supposed to do, not compare what you have compared to someone else. When you do that, when you're faithful with what he gave you, then he'll give you more. Now, one of the things that we see is this last servant, the servant who had received the one bag of silver, came and said to the master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you did not plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid and I took your money and hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back. First problem, this person had a wrong perspective of God. God is not a harsh master asking to invest in places he didn't. He gave him the money. Are you with me? Who gave this servant the bag of silver? The master. Who gave you your talents? Your gifts? God gave them to you. And all he's asking is that if you want a reward for that, invest them. But the reason why this servant gets tossed out and says there's weeping and gnashing of teeth and he doesn't have a reward, the reason he doesn't is because he didn't know the master. And the kingdom of heaven is first about knowing Christ and receiving him for who he is. That gives you salvation. Second, it's about taking the things that he entrusted to you and investing those wisely. Those two things are not connected. There's a separation between those two types of that, those two parts of our Christian life. We're saved by grace. We live by grace. You with me? But to be saved, you must know Jesus and confess him and receive him and know who he is as your Lord and Savior. It's important we don't connect works with salvation. So God did make you for an eternal reward. And he gave you something and he's expecting that you're going to invest it so you can experience him more. That's the main reason. Not because he wants to beat you up when you don't do it right. If the one guy would have said, you're a good master, you're a good God, I did my best, but I couldn't get nothing out of it, God would have said, I love you, bro, it's fine. It's all good in the hood. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says this, now a person who is put in charge of as a manager must be faithful. What about me? Have I been found faithful? Well, it matters very little what you or anyone else thinks. I don't even trust my own judgment on this point. My conscience is clear, but that isn't what matters. What I think about it or what you think about it. What really matters is what the master thinks about it. It is the Lord himself who will examine me and decide. So be careful not to jump to conclusions before The Lord returns as to whether or not someone is faithful. When the Lord comes, he will bring our deepest secrets to light and will reveal our private motives. And then God will give to everyone whatever praise is due. It's not between you and looking at other people's lives and saying whether or not they're faithful or not. That's not our judgment to cast. Judgment is not ours. Judgment is the Father God's. And all judgment was cast upon Jesus. He took it all on himself, all punishment, all wrath. When we accept Jesus, we no longer have any of those penalties, praise God. Not because of anything we did, but only because of what he did. But the matters of our in what Christ has invested in us, the talents, the gifts, we will either have a reward or not. God is the master. He will judge. You've got to get your heart right before him. And you have to know whether or not you're using your gifts and talents effectively for what he's asking of you to do, not what looks right. What looks right may not be what is right for you. But you, in your relationship with him, through exercising your faith, that's the only way you're going to really know what is God asking of you. You've got to build a relationship with him. Like, I don't know what my wife expects of me unless I talk to her. Right? She doesn't know what I expect of her unless we talk. You need to talk to Jesus. You need a personal prayer life with Jesus. I'm encouraging you to come out tonight for a personal prayer time, worship time, to talk to Jesus. That's what we're going to do all night. I mean, not all night. As long as you want to be here. You can be here as long as you want. And we're going to keep worshiping. And when you want to leave, you can go. It's going to be great. No judgment. Time with Jesus. Time to know him and to love him. Right? It's awesome. But when you cultivate that relationship, when I cultivate that relationship, then I hear his voice and I feel his encouragement and I see the grace of God in my life to do the things I feel an encouragement for. I can actually do them. Like, if I felt that I really should be a worship leader, like sing you guys, sing songs and like all that, I think that the grace of God would tell everyone else a different story. I'm terrible. I am a terrible singer. And, you know, and I know it. Praise the Lord for everyone. Right? To not know that would be death to the eardrums. They're like, why does everybody wear earplugs to church? Well, it says make a joyful noise, brother. Make a joyful noise. You got to know where you begin and end. Read Romans 12. It'll tell you that. It's great. And begin to love yourself there. Love that he made you to be you and to do that. If you're good at loving people and being a hospitable man, that's an awesome gift. Do the best that you can do at that, that you can do. If you got two talents, use both those talents. And then I promise, God will expand your gift. He'll begin to entrust more to you. And when he expands your gift, he expands your reward. Because if you have the ability to do more, you have the ability to harvest more. That's awesome. But God doesn't give things to people he can't trust. You have to be trusted. If you want to expand your relationship with God, you have to cultivate it. If you want to expand your responsibilities, then you have to be faithful with them. He entrusts things to people he trusts. You have to first start with the beginning place of the grace of God that's been given to you. What do you do now? Like these brand new believers, they should be doing something now for Jesus because they're not baby. There's not a junior Holy Spirit living inside these kids. He's not like the second grader Holy Spirit. No, he is the Holy Spirit. He's not the backup JV Holy Spirit. He is the pro team. He's it. Fully empowered to prophesy, to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to lead people to Jesus, to make disciples, to love people. Right now, you should start using your gift. If you get caught in Christianity and you don't have your eyes on the prize about living for the reward based on the gifts and talents that he entrusted to you, Christianity will get weird. You will become a weird Christian. I know these Christians. Don't be one. You don't have to be weird. You can grow a beard. It just came to me. You don't have to be weird. You can be a normal, healthy, productive Christian according to the grace that God gave to you. Man, how awesome is that right now? Christianity gets distorted when we're not giving, when we're not serving, we're not using the gifts he entrusted to us. We start getting critical. We start looking at one another and, well, why do they sing that song? And why is it just like this and like that? And the pastor, he doesn't use the King James Bible. I can't even believe it. New living? What, is it alive now? What, is it dead before? I don't understand. How come the pastor doesn't wear a tie? How come he isn't taller? Why doesn't, I mean, why doesn't he have a really big Jesus beard, just a little Jesus beard? Listen, when we start getting focused on us, we're messed up. I'm messed up too. Stop looking at me like I'm Jesus. I'm not. He's not Jesus. She's not Jesus. You're not Jesus. He's Jesus. Let's keep our eyes focused on him, on that eternal reward, and do something. When you're busy doing something, you're not busy looking at everybody else. Right? Right. Christianity only makes sense when we're doing. When we're doing the works he made for us. Not religious works, just religious activity that is not centered in faith and the grace of God is dead. There is religious activity that doesn't produce good fruit, and it doesn't produce an earthly reward. And 1 Corinthians 13 says that the fire of God is going to come up. It's going to consume all of that stuff. And the only thing that's left is the gold, the silver. You and I have to be investing in relationships because they're the only things that make it to heaven, right? So you and I have to invest in relationships that are based out of the faith and the grace of God in each one of us and giving away, expecting nothing in return. That's how you get an eternal reward. That's how you get entrusted with more relationships or more things that impact relationships. Are you with me? But you and I, we've got to keep our eyes focused on what's most important. We got to be found faithful with what he's given us to begin with. I'm going to jump through a few things that God gives rewards for. He gives rewards for good leadership. 1 Peter chapter 5, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that God, that does not fade away. That sounds pretty good. Leading is hard. Shepherding people is difficult. If you don't have the grace of God for it, don't do it, please. It'll wreck you. But man, those of you that do, it's scary and it's a lot of responsibility. Be faithful. And there's a crown, man. I want to see what that puppy looks like. Jewels or whatnot, right? Of course, then I have to lay it down before Jesus anyway. I'm just kidding. No, he gives you a reward. Whatever that crown of glory is, who knows what that really means, but it's a reward. It's a specific reward for leadership. Persecution is one of the greatest rewards in heaven. First, we get a reward for being faithful with what he gave us. Then we can have rewards for leadership. We also get one of the greatest rewards I think I can see in the Bible is for persecution. So get pumped when you're getting jacked for Jesus. I don't know why I wrote that in there, but whatever. It's my youth pastor days coming out of me. Luke 6:22. But blessed are you when men hate you. What? Blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you. And revile you, that's not good, and cast your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake, for Jesus' sake, you're blessed. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Leap, right? Whoa, I'm going to fall for joy. Leap for joy. Like that? I got lots of those moves in there. He says, indeed, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner, their fathers did to the prophets. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Listen, it doesn't matter about what other people do. It's about what you do. Right? Instead of giving an eye for an eye or tooth for a tooth or a spank for a spank, we give love in return. We love our enemies, right? We love our enemies. Those who use us despitefully, that's in this passage, we're supposed to return the love to them. You get an eternal reward when you love people for Jesus, even when they hate you and persecute you. A great reward. It's such a good reward. During your day, natural day, you should leap for joy. Someone persecutes you, you go home and you just go, woo! Right? Everybody's like, what's wrong with that guy? He goes, rewards in heaven! Right? That's it. Listen, we've got to keep the right perspective. Many of us don't step out, and just hear me real carefully here. Many of us don't step out because we're so afraid of the persecution, the rejection especially, that we will get by sharing Jesus with others, with coworkers, with school, people in school and at college. We're like, if I tell them about Jesus, they might not love me. Yes. Yes. They might not. But you should. Because if you do, your reward in heaven will be great. Make a disciple. Lead someone to Jesus. Share who he is. Be a witness about what he has done. Because listen, it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to you. It's the most important part of who you are. And if you don't share that, you're not really being real with people. Because you're not sharing what's most important to who you are and what you're about. And it's Jesus. And you and I, we need to share who we really are with others. You need to know that Christ has radically transformed my life. You need to know that I was absolutely lost and depressed before he came and made himself known to me. When I gave my heart to him, I remember the first day that I accepted Jesus, laying down, looking out a window and seeing the most gigantic snowflakes of all time and thinking, I have a purpose. God, I'm made for your love. I'd never read the Bible. I never opened it. All I did was have an encounter with the lover of my soul, the King of Kings. And from that day on, that's who I want to share with others. That's who we should desire to share with others. And when we desire to share our intimate relationship with Jesus with others, especially when people reject us because we love him, our reward in heaven will be great. And we should walk away with the right perspective. God, that hurt. But I love you, and I'm going to leap for joy because I know that I loved that person. I didn't just preach at them and be stupid to them and like reject them back or do something dumb, and they hated me and I hated them back for Jesus. That's not getting a reward. He says you love them back even when they're mean to you, and you keep telling them, I love Jesus, and even though you hate me, I'm not doing anything in return. I told you about my friend one day who had his kid in the hospital, many, many surgeries, and he's down there and he has this other surgery, and the doctors blow it big time, and his son dies. Dies overnight. Didn't have to die. Total mistake from the hospital. Total mistake from the doctors. They told the doctors not to do this thing. They did it anyway. The kid dies. My friend, real lover of Jesus, has been wronged in one of the most horrifying ways that he could be wrong. He walks up to them and says, look, I know that I could sue you, but I'm choosing not to because I love Jesus. And I want you to know that I love Jesus and I forgive you. And he's never brought it up again to them. That's what penetrates people's hearts. That's the way that Christ has called us to live. That gives an eternal reward. And his son's up in heaven going, good job, Dad. I'm so proud of you. Jesus has probably got him under his arm saying, do you see your dad living for me? That's how it's done. That's how it's done. Live for the eternal reward. Live for the eternal reward. Second Peter 3 says this, and I'm going to skip to verse 8. The day of the Lord, or verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away and a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. I wanted to read verse 9. Sorry. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think, but he is being patient for your sake. He's being patient for your sake. Isn't that beautiful? Then it goes on to say, look, God's going to come like a thief in the night. We're going to skip back to verse 11. Since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives you should live, looking forward to the day that God, to the day of God and hurrying it along. On that day, he will set the heavens on fire and the elements of the earth as he promised. Oh, wait. And the elements will melt away in the flames, verse 13. But we are looking forward to the new heavens and new earth he has promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. Isn't that beautiful? This is what we're to keep our eyes looking forward to, the new heavens and new earth. And so, dear friends, while you are waiting for these things to happen, make every effort, new covenant, living in the grace of God, make every effort by the grace of God, let me just drop that in there, to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in God's sight, not other sight, but God's sight. And remember, our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. You're like, why don't we just all go to heaven and Jesus doesn't do this? Jesus doesn't want anyone to be destroyed. He died for everyone. He wants to bring in everyone to know him. And we need to be patient for that and continue to live godly lives, peaceable lives, full of the grace of God, knowing that he is coming. And salvation, church, is the most valuable treasure you can find. The Bible says we should trade everything to get it. Matthew 13, verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. He sells all that he has. Listen, the kingdom of God, if you have not chosen Jesus and made a personal relationship with him, the kingdom of God, knowing Jesus is the kingdom of God, that's experiencing the kingdom of God, that gives you access into heaven and eternity with God. The Bible says that this is so valuable, you should sell everything you have to get it. That means you should drop every desire you have, every hope that you'd had in something else, and put it all in Christ. Put it all in him. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned, all have missed the mark, and fall short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Each one of us has missed the mark, the standard of God, and there is punishment for our missing of that mark. And the question is how do we pay for that? How do you pay for that? It says in Romans 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. It's that easy. Jesus did all the work. It's a gift. It's here, wrapped for you, ready for you to just unwrap it. Just open. All you have to do is receive it. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. It's got to come from your heart and from your mouth. Here I am, Revelation 3:20 says this, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. I know there's people in here. God is right there. You're hearing this stuff about Jesus and you're watching people give their heart to him. And maybe you've been coming quite a few times and you're seeing these people get baptized and the thing that God's doing in their life, and they belong. I matter and I belong. I feel like I'm part of a family. That's what God died for, to make us a family, and he is our father. And you might have felt like an orphan, but the Bible says that if you give your heart to Jesus, you will no longer be an orphan. You'll be a son. You'll be a daughter. And his relationship covers all of your sin. It forgives all of your sin. And you get to come into this beautiful, forgiven, empowered relationship with Jesus that's full of all the things I've been talking about the last couple weeks. These great rewards, this great dynamic life with him. And he says, behold, I stand at the door. I'm knocking on your heart. You can feel it today. I know those of you that you haven't made a connection with Jesus, you haven't made him the Lord of your life, you can feel that today. I remember what that felt like. I remember going, God, you really are real, and I'm going to give it to you. And listen, I'm just encouraging you, sell it all. Don't wait. Don't let anything become more important to you than Jesus, because that's the greatest treasure of all. That's the greatest treasure of all. If you could with me, maybe just everybody close your eyes. I'm just going to give you an opportunity to choose Jesus. And if you're here today and you haven't made him the Lord of your life, I'm going to ask that when I count to three that you would slip your hand up to just indicate, I want to sell it all. I'm ready to give it all up to have this relationship with Jesus. One, he's the greatest treasure you could ever, ever go after, you could ever get in your life. Two, says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. You just have to choose him. Three, will you lift your hand? Those of you want to be, you want to give your heart to Jesus. Thank you. Praise God. I see your hand. Thank you. Anybody else? Be bold. Sell it all. I want to give my heart to Jesus. Lift your hand. Yeah. Anybody else? Anybody here? Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. You got to be brave. One of the final rewards that Jesus says is that he says in Matthew 10 and Luke 12, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. There's a reward for confessing Jesus, and God confesses you before others. Those of you that want to give your heart to the Lord, I'm going to encourage you to pray truly from your heart. It says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. But we're going to pray all as a church together. If you didn't raise your hand, you don't have to raise your hand to get saved. You have to confess Jesus to get saved. So I want to encourage you to pray anyway and to give your heart to him anyway. If you're wanting to turn your heart back to the Lord, you've been drifting away, this is a great time to do that. But we're going to pray all together as a church. Amen. So let's pray. Father in heaven, I receive your son Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. I confess you, Jesus, as the Savior of my soul. And I receive you, Jesus, for the forgiveness of my sins. I repent for my sins. And I confess you as Lord. I believe you were raised from the dead and you lived a perfect and sinless life just for me. Grow me in you. Ignite my heart for you, Lord Jesus. Help me to live according to the works that you prepared for me. And knit me into this church family. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, I'm excited for you. And what I want to do is, church, if you could all just stand with me and we're going to close our service, is I want to invite those of you that gave your heart to Jesus down here to the front after the service. Some of our care leaders will be here and some of the pastors on our team will be here in the front. And care leaders and pastors, if you could just come down right away after the service, when we close here, I encourage you to make your way down here and make yourself known to them, and they'll help you on your journey with the Lord, and you can end up like these other folks, getting baptized and taking more steps as you grow in Christ. And I love you, church. You're awesome. Young adult mixer right here. This is good stuff. Family stuff going on. If you're a young adult in this church, young couple, young adult, this is going to be a blast. Lots of entertainment, lots of fun, karaoke. I'm going to put on a skit. Come on now, you don't want to miss that. Trust me. Some people think I missed my calling, but I don't think so. Really come out, it'll be a blast. Just get the card. Just look at the card. It's on the 20, March 2nd. March 2nd, 2013, this year, right? God bless you. You're beautiful. I'm so blessed that you're here today. And witness to somebody this week. Can you do that? Just invest in the greatest reward you could have.
which is to lead someone to Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I love you, church. Have a fabulous week. Go get your kids out of kids' church. Come out to the worship time tonight, and it'll be great. 6 o'clock.